It's a choice. I can continue complaining about everything that's wrong, whining to God about why things aren't fair, or I can choose to praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. I'll bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And the Bible says if we'll do that, if we'll continue to do that, if we'll make that a part of our lives, He'll make sure that everything that the enemy has stolen is returned unto us. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to look at a couple of things here. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And this is the story of when David finally got to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. If you remember the story, he had tried and he didn't do it exactly the way it was prescribed. And so it started to fall off the cart and somebody grabbed it and they weren't supposed to grab it. They weren't qualified to grab it and they died instantly. And it kind of threw David off a little bit. He put it in somebody's house, and then he figured out how he was supposed to do it. Got the rules right? And he came back, and so this is the story of that. And so let's look at verse 8 first. Well, verse 7. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. And in other words, he said, okay, worship team, that's who Asaph was. Worship team, here's the psalm. This is what we're going to sing. We're all going to be unified and sing this psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him with psalms. Sing psalms to Him. That's awesome. This is what we're going to do. Listen, nation of Israel, this is what we're going to do. Listen to the church of a new beginning. This is what we're going to do. We're going to continually offer the sacrifice of praise. And I'm not really into, well, praise the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
Right? I'm not into that. And if people get upset because we're a little bit too loud or too, I don't care. Right? Because we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to praise Him because He's worthy to be praised. We're going to shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go to verse 34. So this is again, David bringing, and the ark, watch this. The ark represented the presence of God. That's what it represented. That's what was housed in the ark, right? So good. Verse 34 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks in Your holy name, to triumph in Your praise. Yeah. I'm going to praise Him before He brings the victory, while the trial is going on, and after He does. Right? Because He is my salvation. He is, my reward. Go to Ezra, and this is the story about how it's so funny because, well, it's not funny. It just shows human nature. This is when the nation of Israel rebelled against God, right? They rebelled against God. They didn't do what He said, right? So Ezra is a story about how the Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed the temple, taken all the things away. And this was the story about them starting to come back. And Ezra was tasked with rebuilding the temple. Rebuilding the temple that would house the presence of God. I I'm feeling him right now. It's so good. Ezra chapter 3 and verse 12. No, let's go to verse 11. I'm sorry, I wrote that down wrong. No, I'm going to go to verse 10. Come on, I'm messing Charles up back there, but listen to this. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with the trumpets, the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord, according to the ordinance of David, the king of Israel. Amen. Watch this. The temple wasn't built. They just laid the foundation. Amen. In the last couple of years, I built a house, had a house built, and the minute that the foundation was laid, it was like, it's happening. I mean, when the floor went up, it's happening. When the walls went up, it's. But when the foundation was built, that's where this was at. This is when they began. He got all of the praisers together. He didn't do it quietly. Think about this. All the cymbals, all the. I believe the shofars were going off. Right? Why? Because we're building our house where our covenant with God will be reestablished in our land so that all the world will see that our God dwells in Jerusalem. Verse 11. And they sang responsibly. So the priests were singing, and then the people responsibly praising and giving thanks to God, saying, "For He is good, and for His mercy endures forever toward Israel." Then all the people shouted with a great shout, and when they praised the Lord because of the foundation of the house was laid. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on. Praise the Lord. For God is good, and His mercy endures forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. For God is good, and His mercy endures forever. Come on, praise the Lord. For God is good, and His mercy endures forever. Come on, if you're watching online, don't just watch. Praise the Lord. Come on, for God is good, and His mercy endures forever. Woo, come on. Hallelujah. Why am I saying that? Because we're supposed to continually offer the sacrifice of praise. We're continually offering the sacrifice of praise. And I believe that we're supposed to do it wholeheartedly. We can do it at work and maybe we can't be as boisterous. But I can be boisterous on the inside when I'm not on the outside. Come on, are you with me? Hallelujah. I'll just tell you this. I read in the scriptures one day, this when I first got saved, didn't know hardly anything, but I read that we're supposed to pray continually. Yeah. And I went, how in the world do I pray continually? And I thought, I know. And I'd been filled with the Spirit. I had my prayer language. All day tomorrow at work, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. Yeah. All day. Amen. All day. So I wake up in the morning, I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm working, and I worked at a bench with other people that were working at this particular bench. So I'm here, there's somebody here, and there's somebody here. But I'm praying in the Spirit. You know how? There was enough noise that they couldn't hear me mumbling under my breath. I didn't care if they did. But the point was, is that we can be constantly in His presence, if we'll remember to praise Him continually. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 106. Hallelujah. I'm talking about praising the Lord. Because He's good. Right? He is good. And watch it. The foundation has been laid. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And we're built upon that chief cornerstone. He became the first of many brethren. He went into the Holy of Holies so that you could go into the Holy of Holies. He was the first, but he said, now come on. All of those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and they shall have the right to come into the presence of God. Oh, come on. Whew, did you find Psalm 106? Hallelujah. Verse 1. Praise the Lord. No. Praise the Lord. Okay. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and for His mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all His praise? It's impossible to utter all of His acts, but I'm going to give it a shot. Come on. I can't praise Him enough. I can't praise Him for how good He is. I can't praise Him for how magnificent He is, because I still don't know that all, but I'm learning more and more and more. And the more I get to know Him, the more easier it is to praise Him. Right? And I can praise Him for all that He's done for me. Rather than meditating, that means thinking, pondering, on everything that you think God hasn't done for you, how about switching that back around and remember all the things He has done for you? Do you remember when the Holy Spirit came to you and said, this is Jesus, take Him. And He drew you to Himself. Do you remember that? That should be enough to keep you praising the Lord for eternity if you truly understood the fact that you were on your way to eternity without God. Come on, without His presence, without any chance of getting to heaven. Hell was your destination. And because the Holy Spirit came to you and you gave your heart to Jesus and you asked Him to be Lord of your life, you're now on your way to heaven. I'll forever be singing His praise. I'll be in that company that talks about in the book of Revelation when the cherubim and the heavenly host begin, worthy is the Lamb that is slain. And everybody falls on their face. Worthy is the Lamb. Praise the Lord. And just a big old worship service begins. How about let's just start that right here, right now. Hallelujah. Who can utter His mighty acts? Has He been good to you? Do you meditate on that? Do you think about that? Come on, I'm encouraging you to do so. And when you start to think about it, praise Him. Use your voice. Amen. Offer the sacrifice of praise. I'm bringing you my best, God. Hallelujah. Psalm 107. Verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks. I mean, there's something about, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. For what? Everything. I say this to my grandkids, and I say it to my wife, but mainly to my grandkids. You know what I like about you? Everything. Do you know what I like about you? Everything. And they'll repeat that. I don't even have to say the everything. They'll say it. But why do I say that? Because I mean that. Yeah. Because I mean that. Are you with me? Yeah. Lord, what do I think about you? You know what I like about you, Lord? Everything. Yeah. I thank you for everything, God. I thank you that even when I went through that trial that was so hard and so difficult, that you didn't leave me and you didn't forsake me. I've been there where you're just struggling with, God, help! But like Job, who said, even though they slay me, yet I'll praise your name. Even if the worst scenario that is the devil's trying to put in my mind happens, I've determined beforehand that His praise will be on my lips. That I'll give thanks to Him because He's with me. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on. I'm redeemed. So when you wake up in the morning, look in the mirror and tell that person that you're looking at, I'm redeemed. You're redeemed, young woman. You're redeemed, young man. You need to start acting like you're redeemed and start to give a continual praise unto God with thanksgiving in your heart, because Jesus died to take your place. And you can now go into the presence of God because you are the redeemed. I did a message years ago. Some of you might remember it. But let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When the accuser of the brethren comes to you and begins to tell you everything that you're not, you look at him and say, so? Right? Let the redeemed of the Lord, so? I don't care what you say. I can tell you a verse here that says that He loves me. I can show you several verses where His blood has made me righteous. So, the devil comes to you and says, everybody doesn't like you. So, God loves me. Right? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So the devil comes and says, well, you're going to lose everything and you might be sleeping in a tent next week. So? Come on. So? Well, they might throw all the preachers in prison for preaching the true Bible, preaching the Word of God. So? Why? I'm redeemed. What can man do to me? What can he take away from me that I value more than the fact that Jesus is my Lord and that God loves me and that I'm with Him forever and ever and ever and ever? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north, the south. Come on. The Lord has redeemed you. He brought you from the pit of hell and brought you into His kingdom. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Back to Hebrews chapter 13. Woo, glory to God. Now I could preach on that for a long time, but we're going to finish Hebrews chapter 13. Come on. But we need to constantly, continually, again in verse 15, read that again. I'm in Revelation chapter 13. I'm going, that doesn't make sense. Hang on a minute. Hallelujah. Verse 15. Therefore, by Him, by Jesus, I'm in Jesus. And because of Jesus, I'm walking right with Him or right behind Him or right beside Him. But I'm in Him. I'm in that procession with Him. And I'm going into the presence of the Lord right now, because He said I could enter boldly because of my high priest. I can come boldly into the throne of grace right now, right now, right now. I'm going in with Him, by Him. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That's the fruit of our lips. That's the fruit of your lips. Your wife can't do it for you. Your husband can't do it. Your preacher can't do it for you. The TV evangelist can't do it for you. It's your lips giving praise to God. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. I'm offering the sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. I want you to go down to verse 20 now. And again, the writer of Hebrews is wrapping this up. He says, now may the God of peace, who brought up the Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through his blood of everlasting covenant. So I could just go on forever on that verse. There's so much in that verse. Look at it again. May the God of peace. What does that mean? We were all enemies of God because of sin. We were all at war with God because of sin. We were all in rebellion. But it wasn't us that came back to God. It was God that came to us. May the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead. Think about that for a minute. Just imagine yourself as Jesus is being raised from the dead. You're right there with him. And you remember when he appeared to some of the disciples and he said, "Don't touch me yet, because I haven't gone to my Father and to your Father, to my God. I haven't got there yet." What was he saying? He was saying, "I haven't taken the blood into the Holy of Holies yet. But I'm headed there. I'm headed there." And then when he came back, "Touch me. Put your hands, put your finger in my hand. Put your finger in my side. Come on, I'll cook you breakfast. I'll cook you lunch. You can hang with me." But we're one with him. So good. That's the covenant that we're in. Verse 21, again, may the God of peace, talking, praying for them, make you complete in every good work to do his will. Complete, that means entire, that means whole. That God of peace is working us out. Watch this, it's God working in us that completes us. I don't have to strain and moan, and all I have to do is come into his presence and let him work on me. Become obedient to the voice that he gives to me, but understand, I can't make myself any better than I am. But he can, and he does, and he will, and he's working on it. Well, I love this. Make you complete every good work to do his will, working in you that what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God is working in us to bring us to the place where everything we do is pleasing in his sight. Isn't that awesome? That is so awesome. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Let's look at this just a little bit more. In Philippians chapter 1. Glory, 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 glory. Y'all getting something tonight? It's like, yeah, we're getting something. Well, what are we going to do about it? Right? Verse 6, Philippians 1, 6 says, and being confident, Paul again, he's talking, he's saying, listen, when I remember you, when I'm thinking about you, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? I got saved back in the summer of 1977, but God is still working on me. And I'm confident of this very thing. I'm convinced. I have no doubt about it. I don't even question it. Not only in me, but in you. In you. I'm confident of this one thing. This is so awesome. That he has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us mess up. All of us mess up. All of us, some more than others, but all of us mess up. But God is not the one that's saying, "You've done it now. I've tried. I tried with you, but it didn't work. Out, you're out." No, He's the one that's saying, get up. Because I'm not through working on you yet. I will complete what I'm doing on the inside of you. I will finish what I started. And I'm good at it. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 8 says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. There's so much in that, and I can't preach the whole thing, but this is just it. Don't let men convince you that you are less than because you don't do things their way. Let me say that again. Well, you didn't get baptized the way we think you should get baptized, so therefore you're not as good a Christian as I am. You don't go to our church, so you're not, you know, I mean, you might be saved, I'm not sure, but you know. And if you don't keep this holiday, if you don't keep this way, if you don't get baptized the way we're telling you, if you don't, then you're not really, I mean, maybe God likes you, but I don't think so. That's basically what he's saying in a nutshell. Don't go back to let people come in and say, yeah, you're saved, but you need to do this, this, and this, and this to stay saved. Right? He's saying, don't allow that. Don't even go there. Watch this now. It says, for in him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him, what does that mean? In Philippians chapter 2, it talks about how Jesus emptied himself. He was still God, but he emptied himself of his deity privilege and became as a man, tempted in every way that a man is tempted. And because of that sacrifice, God took his blood as the sacrifice. Watch this. But he was tempted in every way that we were tempted, even to a greater degree. But we're in him. Because he did all of that for me. He did all of that for you. Hallelujah. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. The fullness of God is in the body of Christ. And if Jesus is Lord of your life, then you're part of the body. And it says that you're complete, not in you. Not in how well you pray, not in how well you read, not how many books you've gone through, not how many times you prayed or what kind of sacrificial thing that you did kneeling on the ground for 10 hours. Or none of that is what we're talking about. I'm complete in him. That means I'm entire. That means I'm whole. That means I'm accepted. That means I'm loved. That means I belong. Right? In him. In him. I'm in him, so I'm complete. Does that mean I can just go out and live my life any way I want to? Heavens, no, that's stupid. Right? Why would it's that the picture of that is like a dog returning to their vomit. Why would I go back to the thing that messed me up so much in the first place? But if I find the devil trying to lead me that way, or even if I've given into that, I need to come to myself like the prodigal son did when he was in the pig pen and go, wait a minute, this is dumb. Why am I eating the pig's leftover corn cobs when I can go home and my father will treat me better than that? I'm complete in him. Again. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. For in him you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hand by the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Here's what happened. When you got saved, whether it was when you were 3 years old, whether it was when you were 30 years old, 70 years old, 90 years old, it doesn't matter. The moment that you gave Jesus your life and He became the Lord of your life, you were marked. What was the circumcision about? The circumcision was about, all right, you want to be different, you're going to be different. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to take the foreskins. So everybody will know, if they looked at that part, that's a Jew. Right? That's a Jew. Right? Watch. In the spirit realm, the enemy knows that you're saved. Why? Because the circumcision of Christ came that when He took our place and He became sin for us, that we might be called the righteousness of God, we were marked for eternity. That's why when I stand up to a demon in somebody else, I can say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You that I'm with You. And I thank You that I'm in You. And now, devil, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of that person. Why? The spirits will obey those who've been circumcised in Jesus. Because the authority was passed on to me in the body of Christ. Somebody says, yeah, I'm in the body of Christ, but I just feel like I'm a bunion on the big toe of the body. And some people have that attitude. Well, let me tell you, even the bunion on the big toe of the body of Christ is still on the head of Satan. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Why? Because I am in Christ and I'm complete in Him. Everything that Jesus is, I am, because my identification is no longer in me. It's in Him. That ought to be enough to get us continually in the sacrifice of praise. Come on. Go back. We're closing down. Hebrews chapter 13. Hallelujah. It's important for us to get together and remind ourselves that you're not alone and you're not without hope, because the One who died for you took your place. He loves you. He's with you. He's for you. He won't leave you or forsake you. You know, rather than, and I get it, there's a place for crying with those who are crying and laughing with those who are laughing. I get that. But at some point, you got to quit weeping with them and try to get them to praise with you. You got to quit, getting into their feelings. And feelings are important. I'm not lacking them. But, well, let's. What do we have to thank God for? I heard this story, and I'll close with this. Somebody asked this person, they said, would you thank God in the midst of anything? And she said, yes, I would. Well, what if you lost the ability to walk? She said, I thank God that I had my hands. Well, what if you lost your arms and your legs and you're paralyzed from the neck? I'd praise God and I'd thank God that I could blink my eyes. Well, what if, and just went down, she always retorted with, whatever I have, I'll be thankful for, because God's given me the victory. And here's the bottom line. This earth is not our home. This is not the final destination. And this world does not have the final say. there's coming a day when the trumpet is going to sound and the dead in Christ will be raised with Him. And forever and ever and ever and ever and ever we'll be with Him. So let's get our praise party started now. In Jesus' name. All of you that joined online, I just want to thank you for joining us. But I want you to praise God. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's time to do that. You need to make Him the Lord of your life. You cannot get to heaven without Jesus. Hell is real. And I don't want you to go there. So with me, all you have to say is, Father, in Jesus' name, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I just give my life totally to Jesus. Jesus, I believe that You are Lord and that God raised You from the dead. And because of what You did, I can be identified with You. I give You my heart. I give You my life completely. And if you've walked away from God, just turn back. So here I am, God. Forgive me. I'm going to walk on with You. He's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. Praise the Lord. Come on with me. Praise the Lord. For He is good, and His mercy endures forever. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. Amen. Hallelujah.